the Lord may help me, let us draw attention to the Gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What a powerful adversary is Satan. It was manifest here in his tempting of the Lord Jesus, the great head of the great captain of our salvation. And that he is a powerful adversary is indeed in measure proved in the experience of every a spirit-taught child of God. But my friends, there is one great mercy that this chapter does set before us. Though Satan is a powerful adversary, there is one more powerful than he. There is one greater. There is one that hath indeed overcome him, one in whom against Satan did not prevail one jot or tittle, and that indeed is the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, do notice this, as is set before us in Holy Scripture, how closely identified is the Lord Jesus with his own dear people. What a sweeter truth, my friends, is set forth to the tried and tempted a people of God than in those words that he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. That there is not a situation, there is not, my friends, a temptation which befalls a child of God, but that, my friends, by personal experience, the Lord himself has passed that way. Oh, that in those things he himself has overcome the great adversary of souls, that, my friends, through his rich grace, indeed he has promised that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. In other words, that they indeed shall overcome, they shall prevail. Ah, that, my friends, Satan shall not have the final victory over them. That though often indeed they know and prove what it is, while in this wilderness world, even for the great adversary, even at times, to so prevail against them, yet, as brought and taught by the Holy Spirit, to cry alone unto the Lord, there is one, my friends, who indeed has graciously promised, that when the enemy does come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Just one other thought here before I come particularly to the words of our text. Notice, my friends, the time and the opportunity that Satan, wherein Satan attempted the Lord Jesus. We find him attempting him after 40 days in the wilderness, wherein he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and was afterward and hungered. We might say that this was a point of great extremity with the Lord Jesus. Let us, my friends, ever remember this, though indeed here is the eternal Son of God, he indeed was a real man. Ah, he knew what it was to hunger and to thirst. He knew what it was to be weary with his journey. He knew what it was, as was manifest of him, even at the tomb of Lazarus, to indeed weep with those that weep. He was a real man. Ah, the God-man, blessed, glorious truth. And it was at such a time as this that Satan, my friends, came to him. And do not in measure his people prove the same. Ah, my friends, that when at times in great extremity, in great weakness, when they of themselves have no power to resist or stand before the enemy, therein, my friends, are his temptations indeed brought before them. And ah, what can cause them to stand at such times and seasons? Why is it, my friends, that such seasons Satan does not completely and finally prevail against them? Oh, it is found, my dear friends, in the sweet truth of what the Lord spake even to Simon Peter. Ah, you know, it is this alone that keeps and preserves his people from finally and totally being overcome by Satan. The Lord said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." Ah, my friends, what kept Peter the hour of temptation was not his resolutions, his strong determination to follow the Lord even unto death. Why, they were like chaff before the wind, before the temptations of the great adversary. But my friends, with the intercession of a precious Christ that kept him. And 'tis the same thing alone, the power of divine sovereign grace. 'Tis, my friends, that which is found in the great head of the church himself that keeps his people. Oh, what mercy, what truth is sounded forth in those words of the Lord, in that great prayer to his Father. What did he pray for? That thou wouldst keep them from the evil. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. He says, none of them is lost, save the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now, O Father, I come to thee. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Ah, my friend, there, the sweet truth of the keeping and preserving of the people of God is found in the intercessions of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But also, notice this, we find the particular temptations that Satan used before the Lord Jesus here was found in this. Oh, my friends, the hymn writer says, what impious if he thus a God incarnate through. You know there at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ in Jordan, a most wondrous declaration of this had been seen and manifest, that he indeed was the Son of God. Oh, what, as it were, an infallible demonstration of that truth was given there as the Lord came up out of Jordan. The Spirit like a dove descended and lighted upon him. A voice from heaven was heard saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And my friends, shortly afterwards, what was the temptation of Satan? If Thou be the Son of God. Questioning, doubting, even my friends, in the light of that which was demonstrated there in Jordan. If thou be the Son of God. Ah, one says, to cause despair the scope of Satan and his powers. Is that his end? That his design, my friends? And do not we find and prove in our own soul's experience? Oh, what questionings there are of the Lord's gracious and merciful dealings with us. My friend, have you proved what it is to receive of that which is found even in the words of our text, a word from God himself, that which has been spirit and life, meat and drink to your soul, that which has put more joy in your heart than the day when your corn and wine increased? Why, does not that have been the very point that Satan has attacked? Are not those things called into question in your heart? Does not Satan say, if thou be the Son of God? Ah, and my friends, what deep trials at times does this cause, as those things which God indeed in his rich mercy has made known to your soul, of his love and of his goodness, as they are called into question by Satan. Ah, my friend, you're not brought at times indeed to cry out with the man in the gospel, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, deliver me from these things. Is it not at times, my friends, it were that Satan threatens to sweep all away before him? But what mercy is this? Though, my friends, he cast out upon him, and your own evil heart at times go with him, so you're ready, as it were, to question whether it was of God or not. Be assured of this, though. That which God has spoken, that shall stand. No matter, my friend, how much it be questioned by Satan, he can never disannul it or overthrow it. Oh, what mercy is seen in that. You know, my friends, how he said to the dear Redeemer, if thou be the Son of God. You know those ifs and buts of Satan never altered one iota the word that the Father had spoken. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so, my friend, with you, Satan may indeed at times rob you of the comfort of that word that God has spoken, but he can never rob you of the reality of it. And ah, though in those things, like with Peter, you, my friends, may lose much, yet be assured of this, you'll never lose that which God in his rich grace has indelibly stamped upon your soul. The mercy, my friends, is this, that the work of God shall stand. Let Satan do what he may. Ah, we may lose much, and a good thing to lose it as well, of our own fleshly confidence. Much, my friends, of our own fleshly religion also may be burnt up. It was, you know, with Peter in Satan's sin. But the work of God in the soul, that will stand, that will abide, that will shine forth to the praise of the glory of his grace. But to come to these words of our text, we find here an answer of the Lord to the temptation of Satan. Oh, the sweet and precious truth of this. My friends, Satan never prevailed for one moment against the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, though all his power was extended against the Lord of life and glory in these temptations. My friends, not one, not in one, in the smallest measure did he prevail. Ah, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Ah, see, my friends, that with which a precious Christ did indeed to defeat the temptations of Satan. It is written. Ah, what sweet truth does this set before us? Oh, my friends, there's something here that Satan cannot, my friends, get over. There's something here that indeed does baffle him at every turn. It is written. Oh, for that grace and faith within our hearts, to know increasingly of the sweet and blessed teaching of the Holy Spirit in our soul. To be, my friends, kept close to the precious Word of God. It is written. Why, here are those things, my friends, that shall stand, and stand when time shall be no more. Oh, I've often said this. Sweet to realize the truth of it within our heart, that though, my friend, there may be at times many questionings in your heart and mine, ever remember this. May the Lord lay it home with power to your soul in God's precious word, in the gospel of his divine grace. There is not, my friend, one if, one but, one peradventure there. The Lord himself has said, not one jot nor tittle shall pass away till all be fulfilled. Here we have, my friends, indeed a more sure word of prophecy. Ah, it is as the Apostle Peter in that second epistle of his, and oh how, as he was on the very brink of martyrdom himself, my friends, he labored that those to whom he wrote be established in this truth, that we have not followed cunningly devised fables, will be made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He sets forth, my friends, the truth of this, the infallibility of the precious Word of God. Here is that that shall stand. And are, my friends, as taught by the Holy Spirit, we are brought to stand through grace upon it, to stand with the sweet reality of it within our heart. Why, there are those things that Satan, with all his power, could not overthrow, or, my friends, rob this, the Lord's own dear people of. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What I particularly wanted to notice this evening was this. Of that portion of the Word of God wherein these words are written, they're taken from that 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And I'll just read the 2 verses that the Lord through his servant Moses spake to the children of Israel with regard to these words. He said, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now I feel, my friend, we can rightly and safely say this, that all real, vital religion is summed up in this. It is that, my friends, which we have received at the mouth of God. Ah, Let me try to bring it before you in this way. Man does not live by bread only. Now, we know bread is a staple diet of man. That, my friends, those things are necessary and essential for our natural life. It is essential that we partake of right nourishment. But man shall not live by bread alone. Man is not merely, as it were, like an animal, that his whole being is, my friends, concerned alone in what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. Ah, my friends, we know that that does suffice the natural man and the carnal man. His whole thoughts, his whole concerns are with those things. But, oh, my friends, is not the truth of this set before us? Man, you and I possess that which is indeed inspeakably valuable. And that is, my friends, the possession of an immortal soul, of that which shall live forever. And all the solemn consequences of that eternity that faces each and every one of us, that soul of which we possess, as, my friends, man was formed by God in the beginning, and God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That soul must live, not only during the short period of our earthly existence, but to all eternity, and all the consequences of eternity. That soul must live either in heaven or in hell. There are no other way, my friends, with regard to it. One says eternity, tremendous sound. To guilty souls, a dreadful wound. But oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet the accents, how divine. Man shall not live by bread alone. Ah, it is not merely that which concerns his earthly existence, necessary, needful as those things are, but something far more important than this, says that it is found in these words of the Lord Jesus, is the concerns of an immortal soul and the eternal consequences of that soul. Ah, my friends, are we rightly concerned with regard to eternity? Is the consequences of our immortal soul a deep concern indeed with us? Man shall not live by bread alone. How true, my friends, is this, that in him we live and move and have our being. That is so regards our natural life. How much more so as it concerns our spiritual life. In him we live and move and have our being. Ah, my friends, the spiritual life of a child of God is that indeed from which he indeed does possess and obtain by and through divine grace alone. Oh, how the truth of what the Lord Jesus Christ spake in those words is clearly set before us. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ah, my friend, what do we know of that spiritual life within our soul? What do we know what it is indeed to be a partaker of that of which the Lord spake as being so necessary and essential? Ye must be born again. Oh, solemn truth. Deep truth, are, my friends, our souls exercised with regard to it. I believe it is, and will be an exercise with a child of God. Ah, my friend, find at times the exercise of your soul summed up in those words. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? Am I a partaker of that new, that spiritual birth? Have I union with the church's living head? These, my friends, real, living exercises with your soul? Is it that which you're brought to cry out unto the Lord for, that He would indeed reveal and make it known? My friends, notice the truth of this. Such exercises as that prove the sweet evidence that indeed you are the possessor of spiritual life. Never would be those exercises with your soul if you were dead in trespasses and in sins. Therein is seen a sweet evidence of the life of God within your heart. But oh, my friend, what alone will bring sweet comfort and peace to your heart with regard to it? What, my friends, alone will bring indeed the sweet assurance of that it is so with your soul? Ah, though these exercises are gracious evidences of the life of God within the heart, oh, my friends, what alone can satisfy a living soul? Why, to hear from God's own mouth, as it were Himself, that it is so. For Him to speak, and for Him, my friends, to speak with power, as He does in His word, may He apply it to, indeed, His exercised ones this evening. He says, I have redeemed thee, thou art mine. Ah, my friends, nothing less than that will satisfy an exercised living soul. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, is not that spiritual life of a living soul indeed bound up in this? Even in divine communications from the Lord of life and glory, and the blessed power and teaching of the Holy Spirit, the Lord indeed bringing home and sealing His word with sweetness and power upon the heart. And my friends, a point I want to try to trace out with this here this evening is found in this. We find the Lord said to ancient Israel, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Ah, that path wherein they walked, wherein they proved the truth of this, that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, was, my friends, as they were brought to walk it out in that wilderness journey of 40 years. And are these things, are my friends, indeed stamped upon the soul and the teaching of the Holy Spirit in the way and path wherein the Lord does lead and teach His own people through this world? And the journey of a child of God through it is a wilderness world. The Lord brought His ancient people into the wilderness. What for? That they might learn these things, that therein He would teach them of it. My friends, what does this indeed sweetly set before us? The wilderness, what a place was it? A place, my friends, can we sum it up in this, where they were cast entirely upon God for everything. The land through which they passed yielded them, my friends, nothing. There was not one thing in that wilderness journey that they could do or perform for themselves, for their own maintenance in that journey. They were dependent upon God for everything, for the food that they did eat, for the water that they drank, for, my friends, the clothes that they put on, for their defense from their enemies. Oh, is it not summed up in the Lord's dealings with his people still? 'Tis there, my friends, he'll bring you, if indeed you are found amongst his own people. 'Tis such things as this that he will teach you, and wherein he'll make his word precious to you, and the very joy and rejoicing of your heart, and meat and drink to your soul, by bringing you into those situations wherein you are cast entirely upon himself, dependent, my friends, upon him for all things. We know, is that not true, with regard even to the things of this life, how much more, my friends, with regard to spiritual life and the things of God. Oh, the word says no man can keep alive his own soul. The Lord, my friend, indeed impress that deeply upon your heart. There's no keeping alive your own soul, no maintaining of yourself in a spiritual walk and closeness with God. Ah, and wherein, my friend, does he cause us to prove that no man can keep alive his own soul? Why, by times, cause us to realize of what, my friends, it is to have death within, and death, as it were, in all our own efforts and endeavors. Bring us indeed what? As beggars poor at mercy's door, to be brought to have indeed to call and look alone unto him for all things. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, what a fullness there is in this subject. Ah, my friends, 'tis by that the Lord's people live, by divine communications from the Lord. Art is here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, as the Lord and the gracious teaching of his Holy Spirit makes his word precious to their soul. Remember how it was with Israel in the wilderness. They hungered. They had no means, my friends, to satisfy that hunger of themselves. What could a wilderness yield? And what, my friends, a wilderness yield? A spiritual food to your soul? Ah, nothing can, my friends, the husks of this world satisfy the desires of a living soul? No. Oh, how is it indeed the Lord teaches these things? That the very life of your soul is dependent upon this divine communication from himself. When, my friends, weak and faint in the way, when, as it were, you know something of what it is to be spiritually starved in your soul, what alone, my friends, can satisfy that need? Is it not a word from God? Ah, but one word drop with power into the soul, well, it comes, my friends, like as indeed that manna came to Israel. Ah, dropped all around their tent. Ah, they had not partaken of any such thing like that before. Why, it satisfied all their need. Ah, and so it is, my friends, with his living family. A word from God dropped with power into the soul. What spiritual refreshment. Oh, what joy does it put within their heart. How it causes, my friends, a bone that he hath broken to rejoice. Causes the laid man to leap as a hart, and the tongue of Adama to sing. Likewise, when Israel thirsted in the wilderness, ah, my friends, did they not murmur and complain? And oh, how at times in the midst of your murmurings and complainings, the word of the Lord has indeed been, my friends, that which has refreshed your poor, parched and tried soul. Ah, as that blessed stream from that fountain of the water of life. To sum it up, what, my friends, the very sum, source and centre of that word of God, of that which proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord, is made meat and drink to a living soul. Or is it not? Trace up even to this. Tis, my friends, a precious Christ. And as those things concerning him himself, of his love, his blood, his grace, his compassion, are sweetly open to the soul and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what refreshing streams. Well may the Lord say, and does he say, in his word, that even in his word concerning himself, that I am the bread of life. He says, he that believeth on me shall never hunger, and him that cometh to me shall never thirst. Real, my friends, vital religion is found in this, in that partaking of his flesh and of his blood. Except, he says, ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice, my friend, that word. Every word. Or does not the scripture say, and the apostle, in writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for instruction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be indeed thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Ah, and so, my friends, in the experience of the Lord's people, every word that proceedeth out of his mouth, ah, therein, my friends, is contained all that which is real and vital in religion with you and I. 'Tis that alone which will stand in that last great day, what we have received at the mouth of God, what the Holy Spirit has brought home with power into our hearts. And be assured of this, that word which comes from God, that which is of a divine communication to the soul, it, my friends, does and will have gracious and blessed effects. Ah, and what are some of those effects that word from the mouth of God will have upon a living soul? Why, my friends, one of the effects is this. It will humble that soul. It'll bring that one low at his feet. It'll cause that one to know something of what it is to weep and mourn over sin and after a precious Christ. In measure also it will, my friends, produce this, that going forth of the heart still after him in spiritual hungerings and thirstings. And oh, my friends, also, the fruits of this in sweet measure will be manifest. It'll draw the feet into the way, into those paths of obedience to his revealed mind and will. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, what an unspeakable mercy to have and possess through grace a divine communication. The word of the Lord spoken with power to our heart. Ah, my friend, here is something that neither the world, nor the flesh, nor the devil himself can overthrow. It is that which will stand when time indeed shall be no more. Is it not the truth of these things that the psalmist David was brought to rest in? And my friends, indeed increasingly as he drew near his journey's end, to realize of the sweetness and power of, and comfort of within his soul, he says, though my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me. Ah, the David was not, my friends, destitute of divine communications, for that which God had done for him, and by his Spirit wrought in him, that was his comfort, his consolation, his whole salvation, indeed, was found in it. And all, my friends, the consolation of his soul. And so it is, their measure with the Lord's people still. Ah, my friend. But if, and when you know we rightly view it, when we consider that, which is within our own experience, of what we've received at the mouth of God, how small a compass does it come in. Ah, but my friend, what mercy. That which is of God, that shall stand. Everything else must, my friends, depart and will depart. But that which is of God shall stand. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 'Tis, my friends, that wherein the souls of his people are kept alive, by divine communications, by receiving, by precious faith, out of that fullness that is treasured up in Jesus Christ. And these things are made known, my friends, wherein, even in the roughness and the ruggedness of the way, 'tis in the wilderness, 'tis when brought into situations that we're cast entirely upon him, when brought, my friends, helpless, weak and needy to his feet, 'tis there that we prove the truth of these things. 'Tis there God, the riches of his grace, does bless his own people. Does he not say, sweet truth, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.